Jivera, of the living entity, corn, which, Bada, greatest, Kirti, glory, Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Lord Krishna, Balia, ass, Jamhara, of whom, Haya, there is, Khyati, the reputation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda Roya, open quote, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Close quote. Ramananda Roya replied, open quote, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Close quote. Please repeat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda Roya, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Ramananda Roya replied, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The greatest reputation a living being can have is to be a devotee of Krishna and to act in Krishna consciousness. In the material world, everyone is trying to be famous by accumulating a large bank balance or material opulence. There is a steady competition among karmis attempting to advance in a wealthy society. The whole world is turning in accordance with that competitive mood. But this kind of name and fame is temporary, for it lasts only as long as the temporary material body exists. I remember Ambarisha saying that the first time he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, so, your great-grandfather was Henry Ford? Oh, yes. Where is he now? Where is he now? One may become famous as a Brahmagyani, an impersonalist scholar, or one may become a materially opulent person. In either case, such reputations are inferior to the reputation of a Krishna's devotee. In the Garuda Purana, it is said, Kalo Bhagavatam Nama Durlabham Naiva Labhyate Brahmarudra Pradutkristam Guruna Katitam Mama. In this age of Kali, the fame of one who is known as a great devotee is very rare. However, such a position is superior to that of the great demigods like Brahma and Mahadeva. This is the opinion of all his spiritual masters. In the Itihasa Samuchaya, Narada tells Pundarika, Jamantara Sahishreshu Jasyasya Budir Idrishi Dasoham Vasudevasya Sarvalokam Samudharit. After many, many births, when a person realizes that he is the eternal servant of Vasudeva, he can deliver all the worlds. In the Adi Purana, in a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, it is said, Bhaktanam anugacchanti muktayaha shrutibhi saha. The most exalted position of liberation is given by Vedic knowledge. Everyone follows in the footsteps of the devotee. Similarly, in the Briham Naradiya Purana, it's further stated, Adyapi cha munishrestha brahmadya api devataha. Until now, even the great demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva did not know the influence of a devotee. The Garuda Purana similarly states, Brahmananam sahasrebhya shatrajaji vishishyate shatrayaji sahasrebhya sarvavedanta paraga. Sarva Vedanta Vitko Cha Vishnu Bhakto Vishishyate Vaishnavanam Sahasrebhya Ekantyeko Vishishyate. It is said that out of thousands of Brahmanas, one is qualified to perform sacrifices. And out of many thousands of such qualified Brahmanas, expert in sacrificial offerings, one learned Brahmana may have passed beyond all Vedic knowledge. He is considered the best among all these Brahmanas, and yet, Out of thousands of such Brahmanas who have surpassed Vedic knowledge, one person may be a Vishnu Bhakta, or, wow, the mosquitoes are attacking me. Or, out of many thousands, Vishnu Bhakta, and he is most famous. Out of many thousands of such Vaishnavas, one who is completely fixed in the service of Lord Krishna is most famous. It reminds me of past time Prabhupada was in Mexico. And after preaching for so many days, and he was tired of a lot of preaching, so they arranged for a house of a car racer drive that had a house in the mountains to take Prabhupada there for some resting. So they drove Prabhupada there. So in the afternoon, Prabhupada was giving a darshan outside, and the mosquitoes were killing the devotees. And then Chitsukananda asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, now the mosquitoes are killing us, but I noticed that they don't bite you. Is that because you are a pure devotee?" And Prabhupada said, "Maybe, but in Calcutta they make no discrimination." Indeed, a person who is completely devoted to the service of the Lord certainly returns home, back to Godhead. This is also, there is also the following statement in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.13.4. Shutasya punsham shuchira shramasya namvam shashuri bhir idito rita tatad gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. After much hard labor, a person highly learned in Vedic literature certainly becomes very famous. However, one who is always hearing and chanting the glories of the lotus feet of Mukunda within his heart is certainly superior. In the Narayana Vyuha Stava, it said, Naham Brahmapi Bhuyasam Twap Bhakti Rahito Hare Twai Bhaktastu Kitopi Bhuyasam Jama Jamasu. There are many similar verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially 3.25.38, 4.24.29, 4.31.22, 7.9.24, and 10.14.30. It was Lord Shiva who said, "I do not know the truth about Krishna, but a devotee of Lord Krishna knows all that truth. Out of all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Prahlad is the greatest. Above Prahlad, the Pandavas are supposedly more advanced. Above the Pandavas are the members of the Jadu dynasty, who are even more advanced. In the Jadu dynasty, Uddhava is the furthest advanced, and above Uddhava are the damsels of Rajadham, the gopis themselves. In the Brihad Vamana Purana, Lord Brahma tells Bhrigu, Shasti Varsha Sahasrani Maya Taptam Tapapura, Nanda Gopa Vraja Strinam Padarenu Palabdhaye. I underwent meditation and austerities for 60,000 years just to understand the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Still, I could not understand it." So if you cannot understand all the pastimes that are going on in the morning, don't be frustrated for that. Because even Brahma, after 60,000 years of meditation, could not understand it. To say nothing of me, even Lord Shiva, Lord Shesha, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not understand it. In the Adi Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself says, Natha me priyatatamo brahma rudrascha parthiva nacha lakshmir nachatmacha yatha gopi jano mama. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, and even my own self are not as dear to me as the gopis. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the most exalted servitors of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who adhere to their service are known as Rupa Nuga devotees. The Chaitanya Chandamrita 26 gives the following statement about Srila Rupa Goswami. Ashtam Vairagya Kotir Bhavatu Samadhamma Kshanti Maitri Adikotis Tatuanu Dhyana Kutir Bhavatu Bhavatu Vavaishnavi Bhakti Koti Kutiyam Sho Pyasya Nasyat Tadapi Guno Gano Yat Swataha Siddhaste. Shrimad Chaitanya Chandra Priya Charananaka Jyotir Amoda Bhajam. The qualities of one engaged in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as reputation, austerities, penances, and knowledge, are not to be compared to the qualities of others. Such is the perfection of a devotee always engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chanamini. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachaline Nirvisesha Shunyavari Prashachari Shatarini. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. So this is Leela Nandadas, and today is Saturday, August 30th, 2014, and we are in Alachua, Florida, reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And today is also the appearance day of Sita Thakurani. So I'm going to go over some quotes from Srila Prabhupada. This is strictly from Prabhupada's books. I prefer to get information strictly from Prabhupada's books in relation to Krishna conscious topics. So these texts are not in order. So it may not flow completely smoothly because they are not in order. One day shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Devi, who is worshipped by the whole world, took her husband's permission and went to see that topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presentations. Very important, she took her husband's permission. We have a culture, now we follow certain culture. And she took her husband's permission to go there. Purport. It appears that Advaita Acharya had two different houses, one at Shantipura and one at Navadvipa. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya was residing not at his Navadvipa house, but at his Shantipura house. Therefore, as formerly explained in text 99, from Advaita's old paternal house, Nil Jalaya, in Shantipura, Sita came to Navadvipa to present gifts to the newborn child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sita Devi came to Navadvipa to deliver this. There were also, this is another text, there were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silk and saris, and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented to the child. Purport. From the gifts presented by Sita Thakurani, Advaita Acharya's wife, it appears that Advaita Acharya was at that time a very rich man. Although Brahmanas are not the rich men of society, Advaita Acharya, being the leader of the Brahmanas in Shantipura, was considerably well-to-do. Therefore, he presented many ornaments to the baby, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Riding in a palanquin, this is another test. So when she came to present the gifts, Sita Thakurani was riding in a palanquin, covered with cloth and accompanied by maid servants. You may have seen this. I have seen. No, they have this palanquin and it's all covered with cloth. So the woman cannot be seen inside. Sita Thakurani came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gorachana, turmeric, kunkuma, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a large basket. And Prabhupada explains here that this was being carried by a man that had a rod. And you see this not only in India, but throughout Asia. They have a rod. And there is a basket here, and there is a basket here to create balance, and they go walk long distance carrying those baskets. So she had a man, and she had actually an entourage of people going with her. And Prabhupada also explains that not only 500 years ago, Sita Thakurani was being transferred from one location to another, being carried in a palanquin that was completely covered with cloth. He remembers his own mother in Calcutta. She would not go to the neighbor's house to accept an invitation walking. She would either go on a carriage, this is in the purport here, or she would go in a palanquin that was completely covered, that nobody could see her. And he said even the Muslim ladies and the Hindu ladies, they all follow that standard. That respectable ladies were known in a way that not even the sun could see them. This is a big contrast to today's culture. And because in this culture, the women are going long distance not to show their body. They're putting some extra effort not to show their body. She can easily just walk from this house to the neighbor's house. But no, she calls a palanquin, she goes inside the palanquin, it's all covered. So great effort not to show the body. In this culture, there's great effort to show the body. It's completely the opposite. And unfortunately, even in the Krishna consciousness movement, this has infiltrated. Sometimes we see Matajis make great effort to show their body. But I had a nice experience, actually. You know, my company services, the AOC company, and this past week I had to go there early in the morning. It was maybe 5:30, and I have the key, so I suddenly entered the classroom, and there were two Matajis there, and they probably came to Mongol Arctic, and they were wearing sari, and they were just talking, just the two of them. And one of them had the sari. You know, the sari usually covers this whole upper part of the body, but she had that whole side of the sari down. But the moment I entered, she covered immediately. I thought, oh, this is a woman of culture. Immediately she covered herself. So this culture is degraded, to say the least. And we should use Prabhupada as our reference. Sometimes people say, oh, but everybody does. Oh, everybody is not our point of reference. Our point of reference is Prabhupada and his books. There's a great statement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. I'm just paraphrasing, but he says, let the whole world condemn me. Let they criticize me. They say that I'm a fool. And it keeps going on and on. But I will not move an inch from serving the lotus feet of my spiritual master, even though they may see me as arrogant. So that's our point of reference. And here is our point of reference, Sita Thakur. Of course, it would be difficult to have women being transferred on a palanquin nowadays. But at least covering the body properly is important. And actually, in the Forbes magazine 2011 article, Hillary Clinton and Angela Merkel is the chancellor of Germany since 2005, they were rated as the best dressed women in the world. And if you see them, I was looking at many pictures of them, they're always very well covered. You actually rarely see their bodies, very distinctly covered, respectable women. And there is a writer, a fashion writer, Rob Young, that he wrote a book only on fashion of respectable women throughout history. And if you look at that, all of them, practically without any exception, have their body very well covered. Wow, mosquitoes are competing with me here. When Sita Thakurani came to the house of Satyadevi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newborn child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. Purport. Prabhupada explains here that she brought all those things with the help of a pitari. Pitari is a kind of big basket that's carried in pairs on the ends of a rod balanced over the shoulders. And the person that carries a pitari is called a bhari. And seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very pleased. And because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. Her heart were melting. So Prabhupada explains also that Bengali mothers are very sweet, have very good heart. And he gave once, Prabhu Vishnu went to see Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And he had the letter from Jayaprataka Swami with him, suggesting that Prabhu Vishnu should preach in Bangladesh, in Nepal. And when Prabhu Vishnu came, Prabhupada told him that there was an Indian man, very wealthy, Michael Madhusudan Datta, and he was also a poet. And he got married to a British woman, and he became a Christian. And Prabhupada said that they liked to become Christians because they could eat meat and drink wine. And they could also live an extravagant life. So he moved to England, and he wasted all his fortune with extravagance. And then he had no money. And he was approaching people, Indian people, asking for money. And nobody wanted to give him money. But then he met this man, Vidyasagar. According to Prabhu Vishnu, was a man called Vidyasagar. According to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, was a man from Vidyanagar. But, you know, in either case, they both were there. But the recollection is a little different. And this man gave him money. So in this poet told the man that you have the courage of an English man and the heart of a Bengali mother. And Prabhupada told Prabhu Vishnu that, no, you are a Britisher. So with this courage, you should go everywhere and conquer the world for Krishna. Make the world Krishna conscious. And you should not forget to have also the heart of a Bengali mother. And Burijan, in his book, Glorious Master. He wrote that Prabhupada came to Hong Kong to save two souls. And he was going everywhere, conquering everything with the courage of an English man in the heart of a Bengali mother. And there is a nice article, actually, on Bill Gates' blog. Let me see if I find here quickly. Yeah. That he is giving money back and forth to everybody with his foundation. And he went to this place and he was very impressed with the teacher. I'm going to tell more about this later. But the teacher said that there's a new focus on this school. And she said something very similar to, you know, the courage of an English man in the heart of a Bengali mother. High expectations with high affection. In this school now we introduce the new style of high expectations with high affection. So Prabhupada was like this. He had high expectations in 1977 when we sold so many books. 76. What did he say? Now you double. Gee, we're like, we killed ourselves distributing books. We say you double it. Well, everybody said, how can you double? There's only 24 hours in the day. You know, how can you double it? But he had also high affection. You know? So, and also, Giridhar Swami, talking about the heart of a Bengali mother, like the heart of Siddha Thakurani melted. Giridhar Swami went to, it seems to me that it was Nepal. It's a long story, but he went with his parents. Prabhupada told him, he was a brahmacharya. Prabhupada told him, go on vacation with your parents. He said, I'm a brahmacharya, go on vacation with your parents. So they went to somewhere in Asia, I believe it was Nepal. And Prabhu Vishnu Swami was there. And they went to a store. And Giridhar Swami's mother started making a check. And the store owner thought the check was for him. And he was making some comment. But the check was for her to give to Giridhar, and Giridhar was going to give to Prabhu Vishnu. And Giridhar's father interrupted the store owner and said, no, no, no. In our culture, the father gives money to the mother. The mother gives money to the son. And the son gives money to Krishna. And he told this to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada liked it. His mother was a pious woman. She had a soft heart. And actually, she left money for the eye foundation at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And the name of the eye clinic is Titan Eye Clinic, which is the family name of Giridhar Swami. Titan family. Yeah. Now, I would like to One more thing about Sita Thakurani. She is the one that gave the name to Lord Chaitanya of Nimai. She gave his name. She saw that he was born under the Nim tree, and she gave him the name of Nimai. And also, when Mother Sati Devi left the maternity home, she gave more gifts to Mother Sati Devi and honored her in Jagannath Mishra. And when she was leaving, returning to her house, similarly, Mother Sati Devi and Jagannath Mishra honored her with gifts. And Prabhupada says, this was the system in respectable families of Bengal. Now, because of the time constraint, I'm going to jump to the verse, if it's okay with you. In this verse, in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada says that one may become famous as a Brahmagyani, an impersonalist scholar, or one may become a materially opulent person. In either case, such reputations are inferior to the reputation of Krishna's devotee. So, there are many famous people in this world. Most of them are not Brahmagyanis or impersonalist scholars, but most of them are definitely trying to become material opulent. That's the struggle, the main struggle in this world. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada also says that such a reputation of the devotees, austerities, penances, and knowledge, are not to be compared to the good qualities of others. They are in a different platform. So, I'm not going to compare these qualities, but I would like to show a little bit of the material opulence of the karmis and see and tell you how many good things they are doing and how much greater are the devotees of the Lord. There's this nice song of Govinda Das, Bhaja Hure Mana. No? It's a very nice song. Bhaja Hure Mana. Bhaja Hure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. He's praying to his mind, "My mind, please engage in the service of the lotus feet of Abhaya Charanaravindam, of Krishna. Doing this, you are going to become fearless. And you are going to cross Tarahi Bhava Sindure, the ocean of material problems. You can cross that ocean by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna." And then he says that Sita Ataba Patabarishana Edina Jamini Jagiri. That Sita, Atapa, in the cold, the hot, the winter, summer, rain. Now, I've been struggling for material opulence. Vipale Sevinu Kripana Durjana. I've been serving. Sevinu Kripana Durjana. I've been serving just materialistic people. People that just want enjoyment. I've been serving them just to get some money. And this is the position of most people in this world. They are serving some materialistic person just to get some money to maintain their families or to get by. And then he says that Edhana Jovana Putra Parijana. Edhana, wealth, Jovana, youth, Edhana Jovana Putra, sons, Parijana, family members, Edana Jovana Putra Parijana, Ite Kiachi. Then he asks the question, Ite Kiachi, what is it for? What is the benefit? What is in it? Ite Kiachi, what is in it? Kamala Jala, Kamala Dala Jala, Jivana Talamala. Kamala Dala Jala, Jala, the drop of water. Kamala Dala, on the lotus leaf. No, and we see also in plants in the morning, there's that little drop at the end. No. Jivana Talamala, life is like this. It's just like the drop, ping, it falls on the floor suddenly, and it's gone. And it ends. And we see the life of so many devotees ending. And everybody's life is ending. So, he's asking, so what is the benefit? Why am I struggling like this? It's better that Bhajahure Bhajahu Haripadaniti, that I just engage in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. But people in this world, they're working very hard to become wealthy. And I'm just going to go over some of the statistics of the world, mainly the United States, about wealth. And then I'm going to do some comparison. The number of millionaires in the United States has tripled from 1995 to 2004. There are many, many people making millions of dollars. This is from the Federal Reserve Board of Surveys from the United States. So in 1995, there were 3.77 million people making at least $1 million. But by 2004, there were over 9 million people making over $1 million. Yeah. So today's rich, they have formed their own virtual country. No. In fact, they are wealthier than many nations in the world. By 2004, this is from a book by Robert Frank, writer for the Wall Street Journal. The book name is Rich Dad. By 2004, the richest 1% of Americans, were earning about $1.35 trillion a year, greater than the total gross national income of France, Italy, or Canada. And actually, the 10 top countries, the number one is United States in gross national income, number two is China, number three is Japan, then Germany, France is number five, United Kingdom is number six, Brazil is seven, Italy, Russia, and India. So this 1% of the wealthiest Americans are making more money a year on their own than the entire country of India, the entire country of Russia, the entire country of Italy, Brazil, United Kingdom, and France, individually. That's some serious money. It's very hard to even understand. And with their huge numbers, they have built a self-contained world for themselves. They have their own healthcare system with concierge doctors, travel networks with private jet destination clubs, everything that they are the only ones that can attend. Some of the golf clubs that they attend, just to be a member of it, you have to pay a fee of $300,000 a year to be a member. They don't hire gardening crews. They hire personal arborists. They don't have housekeepers. Often they have over 100 full-time staff members taking care of each mansion. And they have their own personal logo. The staff members have logos on their jackets. They have a house manager that takes care of managing the technology manager, the cleaning crew. They have the hire chefs. They live in a country inside a country. It's called Rich Dad, the country of the rich. Rich Dad. Yeah. Rich Dad is... they did not inherit their wealth. This is very important. Because often people say, oh, this is family money. No. Rich Dad is they did not inherit their wealth, but rose up to the ranks of middle class or upper middle class to make it on their own. They were people like us. And they rose up. Only 3% of today's multimillionaires are celebrities, and less than 10% inherited their money. That means that about 87% were just regular people that through work became wealthy. They were in their 30s and 40s. About 10 years ago, there was an article about the income of middle management at Goldman Sachs, a top elite investment bank in America. Middle management that year, I believe, was 2005. They made an average of $4.5 million a year, middle management. They took home. And they were going and buying cars of $300,000 paying cash. And they were in their 30s and 40s. And many of them were retiring when they were in their mid-40s and becoming philanthropists, which now has a new name. They don't like the name philanthropists. They have the name now social investors. And I'm going to explain more. Most of them, this is important because in this past few days, Shaunaka Prabhu gave a class and he spoke about how important is education. Also in the past few days, Shisha Prabhu gave a class and also spoke about education. And all of these very wealthy people, most of them are well educated. That means they go to college, they get a degree, they become well educated. Most of them, this the research says. Workaday professionals, corporate executives, doctors, lawyers, bankers, designers, analysts, and money managers. And the lower rich stand, to give you some idea, the rich stand is, they are divided in three categories. Lower rich stand is, middle rich stand is, and upper rich stand is. And the upper rich stand is, they make more money. The lower rich stand is, their primary residence, the value of their primary residence, they usually have more than one, is $800,000. The household net worth, total income, a year, is $1 million to $10 million. This is also from the Federal Reserve Board of the United States. A population of about 7.5 million people in the U.S. are in this category. And the average spending for 2006 in watches was $2,100, in cars, $44,000, in jewelry, $9,200, and in spa services, $5,300. Now, the middle-rich standings. Household net worth, $10 million to $100 million. Population, more than 2 million households. Chief sources of wealth, business ownership, equity, salaries. Average spending for 2006 in watches, $71,000. In cars, $158,000. In jewelry, $126,000. In spa services, $42,000. In value of primary residence, $3.8 million. And then the upper rich standings, household net worth, 100 million to 1 billion, population in thousands. They don't give you any specific, just in thousands. And chief source of wealth, business ownership, and equity. Average 2006 spending in watches, $182,000. In cars, $311,000. In jewelry, this is for 1 year, $397,000. And in spa services, $169,000. And value of primary residence, $16.2 million. Now, many of these folks, they want to give money and help people. Many of them. And I have seen this personally, myself. I had the chance to witness this. I'm going to give you some examples. Okay? Philip Berber, a Jewish Irishman who now lives in Texas, created a charitable institution. His company, in fact, is in the business of giving away money. Sometimes we say that, oh, our temple doesn't have money. Now, we are living in the wealthiest nation of the world. And as I mentioned a minute ago, 1% of the wealthiest people in America, they make more money than the five top countries in the world altogether, their total income. So his company, in fact, is in the business of giving away money. It's called A Glimmer of Hope, and it's Berber's personal charity. Berber's plan to save the world through return on asset models would be ambitious by any standard. Yet, he's taking his experiment one step further. He's decided to apply his social investor theories to one of the most complex and intractable social problems in the world, poverty in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is as poor as it can get. Okay. So far, Berber is posting impressive results. Since 2001, Glimmer, Berber's foundation, has spent more than $16 million in Ethiopia. It's built 1,600 water wells, bringing clean water to more than 886,000 people. It's built 190 schools, educating more than 112,000 students. It has created 99 health clinics, serving 766,000 people, and launched 24 vet clinics for farm animals, benefiting 162,000 people. Berber says, "I'm not giving anything to anybody," he says. There is no charity with me. I am a social investor, investing capital for social profits. What does that mean? That when they want to give to some place, they want to make sure that there will be a return on investment. They want to make sure that the place is organized, that the place has good heads, the place is doing the right thing. Then they say, oh yes, I want to give money to this place. There is a nice example by Peter Brewers, who is a devotee and gives that seminar in New Vrindavan once a year. He is the secret man. On one of his seminars that I watched, he showed a picture of the shoe rack of his school in Vrindavan, the Sandipani Muni school. All the children's shoes were very well organized. And then they showed the shoes at the Hare Krishna temple. And was a complete mess. So when a wealthy person goes to a place, they look around and they see how things are. And they think, should I give 2 million to these people? When Bill Clinton was in India representing his foundation, he visited this Akshaya Patra Foundation that distributes prasadam. And he thought they were so organized. This was recent, it was on the Times of India, front page. He arranged for a $2 million donation. He commented, they're very organized, very clean. So, Sir Richard Branson, just in case you don't know, he is the founder of the Virgin Group that has over 400 companies, is the founder of British Virgin Airlines. And he's a big philanthropist and investor. So, in the summer of 2006, he summoned Berber, this man, to his private island in the Caribbean to seek his advice, along with other global political leaders and business chiefs, on addressing social and environment issues around the world. So these people want to help the world. They don't have the direction of Krishna consciousness. But they are very, very well-intentioned people that want to help the world, and not only want to help, they have what it takes to help. They have the funds to do it. They have the money to do it. So he summoned him to go there to his private island. Well, there are many devotees who are wealthy. I know at least one who has a private island. He stayed at my house in New York when I was living in New York. And he showed me pictures of his island. His island is near Fiji and near an island owned by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So he called Berber because he wanted Berber's advice. How can we invest money to help the world, to help the social problems around the world, and to help the environmental problems? So they're looking for ways to help. They're looking for ways to give their money. So, and how do we capture that money? How the devotees show that their qualities are higher so these people will be attracted? When Giriraj was in, Giriraj Swami, at that time Giriraj Brahmachari, was in Vrindavan during Prabhupada's final pastimes, his Auntie Leela. He was sleeping on the roof of the Gurukula, and one night, one of Prabhupada's servants came to him, Haribol, Prabhu, Prabhu, Prabhupada wants to see you. And in his mind, he was concerned, oh my God, Prabhupada is leaving his body. So when he got there, Prabhupada asked him, so, do you think this movement will go on after I leave? And Giriraj said, yes, Prabhupada. If we chant our 16 rounds, and if we follow the four regulative principles, and if we execute devotional service, if we preach. And Prabhupada said the following. With very difficult, you know, with a lot of difficulty, Prabhupada pronounced the words intelligence and organization. And Giriraj commented, and I realized that yes, we do have to chant our 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles and be sincere in our devotional service. But to preach Krishna consciousness, we have to be intelligent and organized. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to balance what I had said with the powerful instruction, intelligence and organization. So these individuals that want to give a lot of money to institutions like our institution, they want to see that level. So Bill Gates recently met with K.D. Brown. Now Bill Gates has a foundation that is valued as the wealthiest foundation in the history. Before that was the Rockefeller Foundation. But Bill Gates' foundation has much more money. They had $31 million. And his foundation is so well organized and so successful that Warren Buffett, that was voted on Forbes or listed on Forbes magazine some time ago as the wealthiest man in the world with a fortune of $62 billion, he saw Bill Gates' foundation so organized, he gave $31 billion to Bill Gates' foundation. Now the foundation doubled the money from $31 billion to $62 billion. And Bill Gates is traveling around investing. He's a social investor. There's no charity. Oh, poor guy. He doesn't have money to give it to me now. He wants to see who is putting the effort, who is organized, who is really serious about it. There's this big preacher in America. I can't remember his name at this moment. He has a legion of MBAs organizing his preaching. He's a big Christian preacher. He's all over the news and TV. He's a young man. He wrote a book recently. Yes. Yeah. So he has a legion of MBAs organizing his preaching. Every aspect of his preaching. So Bill Gates met with this teacher, Katie Brown. Katie Brown, she was named the Teacher of the Year for 2014 for the Washington State. And she's in a school that school, no parent wanted to send their children to that school. Then a new principal came, and she also joined the school. And now there's a waiting list for you to get into the school. Because so many people want to put their children in the school, enroll their children in the school. There's a waiting list. So Bill Gates heard about this. I want to meet with her. He called her. She came to see him. And he told her, so what do you do? She had all kinds of statistics. Because when you talk with a man like this, she's a very intelligent woman. She knew what to do. She said, this is how we measure attendance. This is how we measure efficient. And she told Bill Gates, because you know, numbers don't lie. And Bill Gates, in his article, he thought to himself and he wrote, oh, she's talking my language now. So the devotees of the Lord are the most exalted with the highest qualities. And the materialistic people, according to our understanding, all their efforts, they are zeros. But when we put a one of Krishna on the left of those numbers, then those numbers become very powerful. So we see one Ambarish Prabhu, how much he has done for the Hare Krishna movement. If we have a few more people like this, I remember Bhaktivedanta Swami, and I'm going to end with this pastime, telling me the story that he wanted to preach to Muhammad Ali. On those days, Muhammad Ali was on the top of his career and his performance. And he wanted to go and meet with Muhammad Ali and preach to him. So he found out where Muhammad Ali lived and was in a private gated community. He found out after entering the community where did he have to go to reach to his house. He bought a limousine that was previously used for one of the president of the United States. It was not a new limousine, but was still in good shape. So he convinced a brahmachari to dress formally. Black suit, white shirt, tie. And then he sent a telegram to Muhammad Ali. I'm arriving tomorrow morning for our meeting. There was no meeting, there was nothing. And there he goes. So the limousine parks at the entrance. The guard comes. And the chauffeur rolls down the window. This is Mr. So-and-so. He came to meet with Mr. Muhammad Ali. Okay, just a moment. The guard goes inside, makes a call, said, okay, opens the gate. And Bhaktivedanta Swami said, oh, he got the telegram. Everything is going according to plan. So he goes there. The door opens. And then he's meeting with Muhammad Ali. Suddenly, the doorbell rings. And who is at the door? The mailman. And what the mailman has? The telegram. And Bhaktivedanta Swami said, what happened? I thought everything was happening because of the telegram. But it was because of Krishna. And Muhammad Ali became his friend. And Muhammad Ali told him, I actually have no friends. Everybody's after me just for the money. I can call any women from any part of the world. They will come to stay with me. I can go anywhere. I can do anything I want. Actually, some of these wealthy people have so much money. And the Rich Stan book explains that even though they spend lavishly, they know they can't spend enough money to spend all the money. It's not possible. Then they plan their finances for 100 years ahead. And they send their kids to special camps that teach them how to plan, how to use the money. There's so much money available. So we need to get into that area, that level of society, to add value to them. And if we can show our divine qualities and divine organization in Krishna consciousness, they will feel convinced to help. Thank you very much. There's a few minutes I would like to open up for questions. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhu, my sister is a financial manager in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas has many headquarters of oil companies, and there's many, many very rich executives.
And also big company, Sabre, which controls most of the airline bookings, is in Fort Worth, Texas. Huge company.
Yeah. Anyway, she rubs shoulders with these executives, and her job description is to advise them how to place their money in different places to make more money, etc., etc., and also in their private financial dealings. And she told me that the major concern that they have is they do not want to give their children any money. That's their major
actually
fear.
Bill Gates, yeah,
because
Bill
they
Gates,
know it'll ruin them.
Yeah. Bill Gates actually in his will has very little money for his children. There is also a Bengali proverb that parents should not leave money for their children, because if their children are intelligent, they will make money. If they're foolish, they will just waste everything. Bill Gates has this. He actually went to a seminar by Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has a seminar for wealthy people called How to Live with Less Than $6 Million a Year. Which is, it's a joke, you know. How to live with less than $6 million a year. So Bill Gates went to one of his seminars and became convinced that they should not leave an enormous amount of money for their children, but they should actually open this foundation. That's how they created the foundation. Bill and Linda Gates Foundation. He is going to so many places. He is now listening, very smart and intelligent man. What is doing better for the world? I want to put my money there. You know, a foundation with $62 billion, that's an enormous amount of money. Can you imagine how much money is that? You know? And then Mahamaya after.
That's a good lecture, thank you. All the statistics, detailed statistics of money making. So anyway, we need to, like you say in the beginning, Lilananda Prabhu, to follow Prabhupada's examples and footsteps. And Prabhupada mentioned obviously the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Raghunadas Goswami was so wealthy, Rupa and Sana, that one. And they utilized everything in Krishna service. Ambarish Prabhu, he says all his resources, time and money is in Mayapur. And he gets like 15, 20 letters from all over the world. The world is asking for a bus for preaching, this and this project, that preaching program. He said he has letters from Prabhupada, only Mayapur. So there's also a lot of millionaires that commit suicide because they're so frustrated.
I did some research on that.
So we need to preach. That means we have a lot of work to do, to preach to people, like Prabhupada warned us to do. You know, and we have another good example, like George Harrison. But also the Christians, Lord Jesus says, what is the use to you gain the world when you lose your soul? You know, so we have to always utilize everything in Krishna's service. Yukta Vairagya. I think that's, we have to always keep it in mind. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. I did some research on wealthy people committing suicide. Because I heard at least one time devotees saying that a large number of wealthy people commit suicide. It's not true. It's not true. There's a percentage of them that suffer from schizophrenia, which is a very low percentage. There's a specific research done by a major medical institution. I can't remember if it was the Mayo Clinic or another institution. There was a small percentage that committed suicide, and they were suffering from schizophrenia. The many of them, the pious people, that they want to help, they're looking for opportunities to help. You know, they want. It's like an investment, like a businessman wants to invest money in this property or this business. They're looking, I want to invest in something that is going to make the world better. So how do I do it? Ways. Let me find it. Mahamaya Mataji.
Thank you for a very interesting class. I have two questions. So my first one is, you're mentioning about this teacher turning the school around, and you didn't tell us her secret. How did she do that?
Her secret, I can read some of her secret for you. Here. And actually, I already forwarded this article to KP at ALC. Katie has had a busy summer meeting with policymakers, connecting with colleagues across the country, and even attending a space camp with the top teachers from other states. So this is Bill Gates writing, okay? So I really appreciate her taking the time to stop by my office last week. Katie teaches at Sukshman Middle School in Bellingham, a couple hours north of Seattle. Sukshman is a low-income school where two-thirds of the students get free or reduced-price lunches. It used to be the kind of school that parents tried to keep their kids from going to, she told me. But in the past few years, things have really turned around. There is now a waiting list for students to get in. Katie said they have kids who cry on the last day of school. They just don't want to leave. A turnaround like that doesn't happen overnight, of course. And there is no one factor that causes it. Katie said it started when a strong new superintendent and principal came in and started changing the culture. It is more collaborative now. And the school has created a culture of high expectations balanced with high affection. There is also a new focus on data. Data is important. No, nobody does analysis anymore just about, oh, this is good, that's bad, okay. No, there's a lot. I remember I did data analysis, you know, when I was in New York. My boss would send me back again and again and again. No, I want more analysis. Now, we're investing $250 million on things. I did an analysis. No, I need more analysis. I need more data. I need more analysis. Until he was completely satisfied, there was no hope. Okay, now we make a decision. And this is a knowledgeable decision. We used due diligence. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to use due diligence as well. That will attract people that want to give that kind of money because they're looking for due diligence. Okay, then Bill Gates says, there's also a new focus on data. Sukshman teachers start every school year with a data walkthrough where they get together and pore over every bit of information about their classes that they can find, from test scores to attendance records and student perception reports, so they can see which areas they need to work on. You can't argue with a graph. Katie told me, she told Bill Gates, and Bill Gates in parentheses, for a data person like me, that was music to my ears. So he identifies like that, you know. And so he goes on and on. Anyway.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other question?
My other question. Uh-huh. Well, in the beginning of your talk, you were, I guess you could say, criticizing women for dressing in an unchaste way. And I just want to say that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's because the men want it, and then women figure that out, and then they dress to satisfy the men. I mean, it just was a little unbalanced presentation, I thought, of pointing the finger at the women
I wasn't pointing a finger at anybody. Yeah. I think you're putting words in my mouth. I was simply stating. And I also said, we don't follow the man, we don't follow the women. We follow Prabhupada. We follow his teachings. So if anybody tells me the men want or the woman want, we don't follow them. That's not our philosophy. We follow the teachings of his divine grace, the founder of Acharya.
Yeah, thanks for adding that.
But I did mention this before, that we follow Prabhupada. So people will say, but everybody does. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but it's a fact that in the culture before, even not too long ago actually, even my mother, I remember, my family, they were religious and we would go to the church regularly. And I remember my mother telling me that she would not wear pants to go to the church because it was not appropriate. And the men would take their head off when they entered the church. There were some manners, some customs, of respect. Let me get the microphone. Prabhupada said about the women's freedom movement, liberation movement, that the men want the women to be liberated so they have more access to free enjoyment.
So these are sophisticated dynamics. You talk about big social movements.
There's a lot of dynamics that go on
to how these things actually play out in the real world.
But our culture, the Krishna conscious culture, there's a nice book that Sridhar Swami, when he was alive, Iskhan Sridhar Swami gave to me, called Tuesday Mornings with Maury. I don't know if you heard about this book. It's a really nice book. Maury had a terminal disease and he was dying slowly, and one of his students would come every Tuesday and meet with him. He has amazing instructions. One of the things that he says is that you have to create your own culture inside that culture. And that's basically what the Krishna consciousness movement is. We create our own culture inside that external culture. And if we bring those external values inside our culture, that's our weakness. If we allow those external values to take over our internal culture, that's our weakness. Any other questions? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.